Today's program was brought to you by Mood Magazine, a new international quarterly publication about music and food. For more information, visit moodmusicfood.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food, we talk about music, with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
All right, welcome to Snacky Tunes. I am one half your host, Darren Breznitz. Greg Breznitz is still over in London, that lucky SOB. Shout out to Zach Palaccio. He just came back from Fish and Game this weekend. It's amazing. If you have a chance to go up to Hudson, I would say do that. And we also have some other breaking news from the New York Food and Wine Festival. As we mentioned the other week, we were at the Sean Brock's dinner, which is amazing. And next year, festival dates have changed. They're going to be October 16th through the 19th, 2014. So put that on your calendar. Shout out to Ben and all of the awesome guys over and ladies of Bullfrog and Bomb for their continued support of the show and for the festival and things like that. We have a packed show today. It's standing room only in the studio. And as you can hear outside, it is the Roberta's Halloween extravaganza. So it's good. What you heard first was the band, or the lady band?
Lady.
Yeah. My Midnight Heart, Chest of Hearts, who will be playing live in the second part of this show. But first up, we want to welcome Lauren Hirschberg, Chef Lauren Hirschberg, Executive Chef at Craft Bar, to Snacky Tunes. Welcome to Heritage Radio Network.
Thank you for having me.
This is your first time on the radio station?
This radio station, yes.
Awesome. So Lauren is on because he will be joining us as our guest chef at the Bar Food Blowout happening on Tuesday, November 12th at Pork Slope, and we couldn't be more excited to see your take on food mixed with bar food.
I'm pretty pumped to do it. It's a rare opportunity for me to get out of Craft Bar and do something different, so I'm looking forward to it.
All right, well, that's happening next week. Let's go all the way back to the beginning. So you're Northeast born and bred, aren't you?
New Jersey, Montclair.
You're not a Devils fan, are you?
You know, once they changed their jersey colors, I couldn't deal with it anymore. So I was actually a Red Wings fan because Steve Yzerman is my all-time favorite player.
Fair enough. As long as you weren't a Red Wings fan in 96 when you trounced the Flyers in the Stanley Cup. You weren't?
I skipped that year.
Okay. So you grew up in Jersey, and then you went up to Syracuse, right?
Yep.
Talk to me about your love of food and your history of culinary culture.
Basically started at a young age. My family was big into entertaining, throwing parties, lots of food, you know, lots of share plates, standing around casually. And it kind of went from there where I wanted to eat the food that my mom always made on special occasions, so she started letting me have at it when it wasn't such a special occasion.
Oh, like some test runs?
Kind of test runs, but it was like, okay, you want to make it? Like, I've got, you know, a brother and four sisters. Any neighborhood kids who came around, she was like, you cook dinner, I'll go out to the city with your dad.
Really?
Yeah.
So they left you alone and let you cook?
Yeah.
What type of cuisine are we talking? What type of dishes?
Like serious, like meatloaf and, like, you know, the American standards.
Like,
but
Jersey suburb special?
Yeah.
But some sort of twist that made it stand out in your mind, or was it just the idea of the home-cooked meal?
It was just the idea of the home-cooked meal. I mean, like, my parents would drive down to Philly and get, like, mozzarella and, like, prosciutto and sun-dried tomatoes with their friends and then come back and have, like, a party on Sunday afternoons.
Right.
And that's what I kind of started to gravitate towards, and where I was like, I want to eat this food because this food is the absolute bomb. And she kind of got me started out on then, well, you can make family dinner.
Did you find that your, experience cooking family dinner would later translate to when you had to do family meal for your brethren at the restaurants?
Maybe a little bit. I think more of anything, it just gave me an outlet to work with my hands. Whether it be food or something else, like I realized that my career had to be something where there was a tangible product that I couldn't just sit at a desk, look at a computer, and make a career out of that. Like, I actually need to be, like, getting dirty and being physical with what I'm working with. So,
I mean, you majored in that, right? Didn't you, in, like, food hospitality and service and things?
Yeah,
like that?
I lucked out and I found the easiest major up at Syracuse, so I signed up for that one.
That's where Dinosaur got started, right? Up in Syracuse.
Yep.
What was your college meals like? What did you dine on in those salad days?
When we weren't at the dining hall, I cooked a lot for, you know, my roommates in our apartment. Big thing I would do is make a big batch of Sunday gravy a couple times a year. We'd freeze it, you know, have like meatballs enough for like 5-6 people. And then when we were watching, you know, football games or, you know, 90210. We would heat it up.
Not to date yourself, right?
Not to date myself.
Did you do a lot of tailgating? I mean, I know.
No, actually, I just did another interview about this, and I was saying that up at Syracuse, it's so freaking cold.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so gray and a lot of times wet that we'd go to the bars and tailgate, and then you're literally 100 yards away from the carrier dome. So you just walk across the quad and go in for the games.
And so then after you graduated, where did you pick up, what kitchen did you wind up in?
After I graduated, I actually ended up down in the Virgin Islands waiting tables.
Of course. Of course.
A buddy
Montclair to Syracuse to Virgin Islands. It's the American dream story.
A buddy of mine was running a restaurant down there, and he needed people to come down and help him. So I went down to St. Croix, did that for about 8 months. But the whole time, like, I really wanted to get back into the kitchen. And so I did that. I came back here. I went to the French Culinary Institute. And my first job actually was at Kraft. I started bottom rung, garmanger, and worked my way through the stations.
How did you feel that going to school for that versus starting in the bottom? Did you feel that the schooling was as important, or just you could have gone straight to the bottom and worked your way up and added in whatever years you went into school at the restaurant?
I think school made me realize that I didn't have the fundamentals. You know, when you're just cooking for your, like, family and friends and, like, you're kind of winging it, you don't have the fundamentals and kind of classic technique. Getting into a kitchen like Kraft and starting in the real world made me realize that school didn't teach me anything. So a restaurant like that where everything was kind of, like, a la carte, it was like the stations are very specialized. I was like, this is my real education. And that's why I committed to staying there so I could work through the entire kitchen.
I mean, I think you have a very rare story. The fact that you've been at a restaurant starting at the bottom and now being the executive chef a decade later speaks to following that path more than, oh, I did 6 months here, 1 year there, and I'm sort of like in this middle career where I can cook, but I'm not at the top of any place.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you know, it took a year to get through all the stations, and then by then I was helping to train guys and going back through the stations with new guys. And then after 2 years, a sous chef position was available. So I started basically every, like, year to 2 years, a new opportunity was there within that company or within that kitchen specifically for me to continue to grow and learn something new while not taking me away from what I love to do, which is cook.
Yeah.
So it was just, it happened very organically, but it also happened, like, I'd say almost perfectly from a timing sense for me personally, where it's just like, you know, when people start to get that itch and they're like, well, I want to move on, I want to see something else, there's something else for me to see, but working under the same roof.
Right, but you changed roofs because you went from Kraft to Kraft Bar, right?
Right.
What's the difference? You know, for people who don't know the two restaurants, can you give a brief description of them?
Sure. I mean, Kraft, obviously, Tom Colicchio, flagship.
Shout out.
Got to give him the shout out. He's the man. But, you know, it's based on the a la carte. You know, you order your piece of meat, you order your vegetables, your mushrooms, your potatoes, and you build your own meal, so to speak. Kraft Bar is what I think it is you take all the same techniques and skills and products that we'd use at Kraft, but then you make it into a more casual and composed menu.
And do you enjoy cooking there a little bit more, or did you enjoy, like, do you enjoy the approach, or is it just two totally different approaches?
It's not, I mean, like I said, we're using the same kind of techniques and the same mindset in terms of how we approach ingredients. Kraft is awesome because, like, you're gonna take that ingredient and you're gonna cook it to its utmost perfection and just highlight what that ingredient is or what that dish is gonna be. And then Kraft Bar, you get a little bit more leeway to play with different flavor combinations, a little bit more leeway to be more casual and whimsical and you know, kind of have fun with it, I guess.
Can I talk to you about the music in the kitchen? Is it a quiet kitchen, or you guys rocking out?
We used to have, like, a really, really old ghetto box. And it'd be by the butcher station, and we'd only listen to Spanish music. It eventually broke, so we never replaced it. However, we are a very musical kitchen. I'll give a shout out to my buddy Chris Hensel, who's working the line tonight. That guy will bust in a song and dance on a whim. And usually when one song gets in our heads, we all start to sing it. Every now and then we have, like, a 5-minute kind of group session.
That's great. Karaoke night must be awesome with you guys.
We usually just go and make fun of people doing the karaoke.
Do you like to listen to music, though, at home when you're cooking? Do you have any bands that you listen to when you cook?
I mean, I love every kind of music right now. I'm on, like, a supreme country kick.
Okay.
And it's kind of like the newer, cheesier stuff, if you want to say that, because we got 94.
Oh, right, the new seven. Country station.
So it's like that's just kind of the standard in my car right now when I'm driving to and from, you know, the supermarket or to work. And so I'm really into that. And but I'd say, you know, Talking Heads is a great one. Bob Marley, Bon Jovi, New Jersey, you got to represent.
Got to represent.
Those are probably the three of the things that we listen to a lot when we're cooking. Now, and by we, I mean my wife, who's
of course
standing right next to me.
Shout out to the wife. Sunday Hanks. Thanks for letting him come out on Sunday.
You're welcome.
So I also heard that you took first place in the wing competition in Memphis in May.
Yes.
That first off, congratulations.
Thank you.
How did that happen?
It's completely by accident. We there's a couple of us who started going down, I think 5 years ago. It's Shane McBride, who's now the executive chef at Balthazar. Damon Wise is the chef at Lafayette. Adam Evans, who's a chef down in Atlanta and the Optimist. A bunch of us who all worked at Kraft together went down there in kind of a Kraft-sponsored trip the first time around. Everyone's kind of gone their separate ways, but we make it a point to go down every year, and that's our sojourn to barbecue and our time for us to all get back together. And, you know, the first year, we just did, you know, our ribs and a couple, like, categories. And the second year, we were just like, let's do all the categories. And nobody wanted to do wings, so I took it under my belt, and I literally made a hot sauce and a rub the day before I drove down. But I'd worked like six doubles in a row to get the time off.
Oh my God.
And I was so blurry that I don't really know what was in it. So the joke is that I won first place and then we don't know what's in it.
You couldn't do any reverse like engineering?
I try. I've then started to really develop and like take notes on the recipes. I think I have a really awesome recipe for a wing sauce. I just don't know what it was that won it that one year.
So that wing sauce, I know that one of the dishes you're doing for the bar food blowout are buffalo pigtails.
Yep.
Is that wing sauce going to be making an appearance on those?
It will.
Okay.
I like to make my own wing sauce. Don't use anybody else's. We have fermented chilies at the restaurant.
And this is not some like, oh, I take Frank's as a base and then add something else. This is from scratch, right?
No. If I need a little bit of help, I'll take like a basic Louisiana or Crystal's.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Just if I need to stretch it a little bit, but I think Frank's has a very unique flavor.
Yeah, I don't love it. I think that flavor takes over everything else.
It's the standard. It's now like the standard wing flavor, and I think there's not a lot of nuance to it. So something like a Crystal's, it's just like it's got heat, it's got cayenne, but then you can manipulate that to make something flavorful.
Awesome. And then what else are you doing for the bar food blowout?
We have an awesome kielbasa on our menu at Kraft Bar, so we actually just changed it to the same prep I'm going to do for the bar food blowout. Basically, it's a push cart dog, but we're going to do our smoked kielbasa. So we got smothered onions, sauerkraut, and homemade bun, and then our smoked kielbasa, and then some nacho cheese chirrones.
And what are those?
So chicharrones are obviously the pork cracklings. Okay. We kind of came. This was another like kind of happy accident. My chef de cuisine was seasoning them with vinegar powder and paprika and some other kind of dehydrated powders, and it actually ended up tasting like nacho cheese. So it's almost like a cheese doodle. Is that the one, the puffy one?
Yeah.
It's almost like a cheese doodle.
I'm not mad at anything that you're saying.
Right. Me neither.
Dude, this is awesome. And then you got some pickles, and we'll have a veg option too, right?
Something. Yeah. We got a little bar pie with some mushrooms and Fontina cheese.
Yeah. And I know that Brooklyn Brewery is going to be there, and Powers for like $20. It's a pretty good deal.
I think that's a fantastic deal.
And if you want to go, it's barfoodnovember.eventbrite.com. Well, Arno, I want to thank you so much.
Thank you.
I know that you're up on Twitter, right?
I am.
What do you want to shout out yourself?
It's LM Hirschberg.
You want to spell Hirschberg?
Hirschberg.
Cool. Are you active on Twitter? I mean,
I'm not as active as I probably should be. I'm more an Instagram guy, and it's the same handle.
What's your Instagram game like?
Food pics, baby pics now. I've got a 2-month-old.
Oh, hey, congratulations.
Yeah.
Oh, you're really making a night of it. You coming out to the radio station, going out to eat.
We got a babysitter and everything tonight, so.
And he's driving home.
Oh, Mama's got 2 glasses of wine, right?
Exactly.
Oh, well, what's the shout out the baby?
My baby is Charlie Augusta. She's 2 months. She's awesome.
Ooh, Charlie is a girl's name.
Charlie is a girl's name.
I like that. Charlie Augusta.
Lauren is a boy's name. I had to repay the favor.
Ooh.
My name is Sydney. A lot of people think I'm the man.
Oh, okay. Woman, so. That's all right.
Well, works.
You're all awesome. Well, Lauren, I want to thank you so much for coming by. It's the 12th, like a week.
About a week and a half.
We'll be doing the media blitz this week. So stick around. We got the boys from Greenpoint Fish Co. sitting in house. I got oysters, which we're excited about. You can hear the party going outside, so I imagine we'll be hanging here in the gun out there.
Temples that I built for you, and I sang songs of praise and love. And I sang songs of burying you alive. And see, I had to tear it down.
Welcome back to Snacky Tunes. That party is just getting louder and louder out there. We have Adam and Vinny in the house shucking oysters from the Greenpoint Fish and Lobster Co. Thank you guys. We met, God, how How long ago was that now?
That was over the summer.
But we go way back.
To which days?
When I used to book at pianos.
Jeez, so we're talking
5-6 years.
You know, I'm over at Refinery 29 now, and we just threw our Halloween party at Baby's All Right.
Nice.
So shout out to those guys. They're sort of killing it right now. So anyway, so why don't you guys introduce yourself as you're shucking away?
My name's Vinny. I'm the fishmonger here at Greenpoint Fish and Lobster Company.
And my name's Adam, and I'm the I handle all the food aspect of Greenpoint Fish and Lobster Company. So designing menus and recipes based on whatever Vinny buys me.
So you guys are doing something unique, and I think that better than me train wreck the explanation. Because you're not just bringing in fish. You're also doing menus and events and things like that, which I think is unique to what purveyors are doing. Because mostly when you think of fish purveyors, you think of, well, it's not really Fulton Fish Market anymore, but you think of, like, that's about what it is. Like, they bring it in and that's where it ends, and someone else cooks it. But you guys are doing something different.
Sure.
Well, I mean, we're trying to open a retail seafood market and kind of cafe raw bar based on, you know, with a menu based on what we have coming in, and mostly based on what's in season, and also, more importantly, what's sustainable. We're really trying to push the sustainable seafood movement and trying to only carry seafood that has been, you know, is kind of vetted as, you know, from sustainable fisheries, well-maintained fisheries, and caught in certain ways that have minimal impact on the environment and are also promoting the longevity of the species as a whole. So, yeah.
I mean, would you want to add to that?
Well, I've found actually, my background is my family owns a 125-year-old seafood company out of Boston. It's a wholesale company. And when I used to work there, I was part of the sustainability division where I was selling directly to the high-end restaurants in Boston. That I would say, like, these fish are sustainably caught. They're caught in a method that is not detrimental to the stocks of the species. And I found that people weren't really, the chefs in particular, weren't interested in it. They were only interested in the price point. So when I got a little discouraged, but now I feel like that was maybe like 5-6 years ago.
Right.
There's more. That was in Boston too, and in New York, there's just much more a higher demand for the sustainability factor.
Hey, go Sox!
Thank you.
Go Sox!
Yeah, it was great.
I went to school at BU, but I left the year before they left. They won the first time. So I mean, I just got to make one comment, Adam, on your background. I find so many guys who start off in music now moving into food. Why do you think that happened to you, beyond just sort of having, you know, your family going to Cape Cod for so many years? Like, what drew you to it out of the music business?
I mean, I don't know. I've been a pescatarian for 11 years, and I've lived in North Brooklyn for the last 6 years, and there's nowhere to get seafood. There's nowhere to buy your own seafood.
There's that one really weird place in Metropolitan.
I feel bad talking about it, but
it's
yeah.
Fine. I mean, well, like, yeah.
Just go to Yelp. You'll see.
You'll know. You know what we're talking about. But like, yeah. That's the only place I know that's right. An actual fishmonger.
Right.
And then Ben Sargent's been doing some good work.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, he's a good buddy.
Yeah. He's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's not doing. He's not selling to the public. No. So there's nowhere to get it, and I work, actually, for music, I work out of a home office,
right.
Cook all my meals, cook them 2 to 3 meals a day, and I cook a lot of seafood, and I was frustrated without having a place to go. I'd have to go to the Chelsea Market,
right,
or I'd go to Whole Foods or something, and it's expensive, and it's a three-hour round trip. Like, I don't have, you know, I can't do that trip multiple times a week.
No.
And so,
and also, Brooklyn Pride.
Exactly.
Of course.
Brooklyn Proud Forever. So, yeah, I mean, so you decided just to keep it local, keep it real?
Yeah, well, I knew Vinny and I worked on a, I know Vinny from music. Vinny is actually also an entertainment lawyer. And
don't hold it against me.
We worked on a project together, and I knew he had a, you know, one day he was like, hey, if you ever want fish, this is a couple of years ago, if you ever want fish, I'll be driving trucks for my family, and I can bring you down, you know, some cod or
you know, flounder, whatever it is. And I was like, oh, well, that's odd. Okay. I never took him up on it because it just was kind of bizarre at the time.
Right.
But then I had this idea, like, why is there nowhere to get seafood in Brooklyn? And you're seeing all these butchers opening everywhere and these kind of high-end, you know, artisanal meats and whatnot. And no one's doing the seafood. So I saw Vinny at a holiday, a music industry holiday party. And
as one does.
Right. And I was like, you, we got to talk.
Right.
And
of course, I immediately thought that it's because I owed him money or something.
right.
Didn't come out on that contract.
Right.
I mean, I think that's sort of what I love about the Brooklyn music and food scene. And there was the parallels where it's sometimes it's just as easy as two dudes or two ladies or a dude and lady with similar parallel interests that finally cross.
Totally.
You know, where someone has the means. I mean, how many people work in entertainment now that also has a family who's run 125 years of seafood importing, another guy who just knows the Brooklyn scene and can be involved with that coming together. So after that initial conversation, when did it go from, like, we're at a holiday party drinking to, like, oh, shit, we're actually doing this?
Vinny said, let's go to Boston. Let's go meet the family. Let's go see the operation. And we took a trip, and I was amazed. I mean, his whole family is so entrenched in seafood. And we were like, you know, this is real. We can do this. We have the contacts. We have the concept. And we have to do this. We have to try. And we kind of just, you know, we just knew it instinctively. Like, we need to keep going with this. And we need to see how far this goes.
If only you knew of a lawyer to set it up.
Yeah, right?
How much crossover is there setting up an importing and exporting fish business in entertainment?
I mean, not much.
Not much.
But when I was working in Boston for my family's company, which was pretty much my whole life, actually, I really loved it, and I got into it. And then I moved down to New York to do the music thing, and it's been going all right, but I there's something missing, and it was that fish, that New England tradition that I have. I'm a fourth generation fisherman now, and the company's still going strong, and we've got plenty of...
Can you shout him out? What's the name?
John Eagle Company.
Gotta shout him out.
In South Boston, Massachusetts.
South. I'm not a cop. It's a little departed. I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, so how long have you guys been around? I mean, it's recent.
About a year now, yeah.
We talked last December, right?
So. Yeah, it's been about a year, but the past year has been crazy. We've just been... While we've been looking for places to open, we've been throwing these parties, and there are seafood events.
Let's talk about these parties, which I'm so remiss that I have not been to yet. But when's the next one?
Disc. The next one, we're not sure yet. I mean, basically what happens is we try to throw one party a month. You know, we deal with one, completely exhausted, and we're like, all right, we know we need to do another one. And then one afternoon it clicks, oh, that's what we're going to do. And it comes together in 2 weeks, and
they're also seasonal too. So
you know,
the end of summer, do a lobster bake. We just did a muscle, what we call muscle mania, where we had, you know, 80 pounds of mussels that we were steaming, and we had three different types of sauces. So we try to keep it as seasonal as possible, as well as the most sustainable fish that we can get at the time.
So I mean, I'm looking. I want to do now. It's starting to get cold. I'm really excited about chowder. You know, it's tough with over the summer. It's so hot. It's hard to. A lot of seafood is, you know, seafood's great raw. You can do oysters or lobster rolls, cold stuff. But there's so much you can do when you start grilling. And while summer grilling is nice, like, I don't know, cold weather and, you know, and chowders and things like that, I'm excited about doing. So I have my eyes on a chowder event next. We're trying to figure out a location. You know, we're trying to keep everything in Brooklyn.
Of course.
Greenpoint.
Totally.
And
you'll imagine we'll see some, like, Chipino.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Well. Oh, yeah.
We just came back from San Francisco last week. Actually went down to Moss Landing outside of Monterey. And went to what I think is the best, you know, the mecca for Chipino, Phil's Fish Market.
That place is...
The place is amazing. I'm obsessed with Chipino.
So what are these oysters that we're eating?
I don't know. I picked these up today, actually. There's a guy at the farmer's market in Mororlik Park on Sundays. So these are from North Shore of Long Island.
Mm.
Just nondescript, kind of delicious East Coast oysters.
Salty.
Good. Salty.
Yeah, they're
salty
really burn. Great.
So how far are you guys sending your fish? What's your distribution?
We're handling a couple of small orders for restaurants right now, like kind of minimal. We don't really have a facility set up to do proper wholesaling. A couple cooking schools and cooking classes have, say, hey, we've got a seafood class coming up in a couple weeks. We need, 22-pound cod, black sea bass or something, and, we'll handle that kind of stuff. But we're, mostly focused on finding a location to do retail and all, as well as wholesale.
Yeah.
And with a small kitchen, do some raw bar and small daily specials.
Awesome.
And then these events that we've been throwing. So.
Yeah. Well, stick around. We got some awesome music coming up. You guys check some more soon. We got My Midnight Heart coming up next. But you guys want to shout out like the nuts and bolts of online, website, where they can find you?
You can come find us at the website is Greenpoint Fish and Lobster. That's A-N-D spelled out. Greenpoint Fish and Lobster. And you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Greenpoint Fish.
Yeah. That's about it.
Awesome. All right, we'll stick around. We'll have some more pizza. We'll hang out. We got My Midnight Heart coming up.
To have the beat inside her breast, she devoted her life to being the best. She helped all of those in need. She gave away everything, but she couldn't give away the beast. We'll be right back.
What's Mood? Mood is a quarterly magazine about music and food. For its creators, not many things can beat a good record and a delicious meal. Maybe a well-written story or a gorgeous photo. Well, that's all in Mood. The magazine looks at music and food in a cohesive and unique way, with a keen eye to design and high-quality writing. Its contributors are located around the globe, and the stories span accordingly. Check it out today at moodmusicfood.com. That's moodmusicfood.com.
All right, welcome back to Snacky Tunes. I am one half your host, Darren Brethitz. Shout out to Greg, who's listening in London. Jam-packed food adventures today. And I want to welcome My Midnight Heart to the radio station.
Hey, what's up?
Full dance party.
Full dance party going on.
It's also really weird because it's daylight savings times, I want to say. Was that today? Yeah. And so it feels like it's darker than night itself, and it's like 5:15. Well, welcome.
Thank you so much.
I want to talk about your origin story, because I think this is the first origin story that has the word giggling.
Giggling?
Yes.
Okay.
In it. That said that there was never a beginning for My Midnight Heart, but you had been giggling and writing songs for as long as you can remember.
Oh, gigging, I hope it says.
Oh my god, it does say gigging.
I was probably giggling as well. But.
Well, I'm going to say it as the journalist that I am, that I read it as giggling. But yeah, so you've been gigging and writing songs for, how long is how long? Like six? Like, told your parents, like, I'm going out on tour?
I wish. No, I mean, literally, I'd been writing songs since, yeah, like, six or so. I mean, we always had, like, you know, a piano in the house, guitar in the house, and it was something I was naturally drawn to. I didn't start doing it professionally, basically, until about 6 years ago. And been doing different corporate gigs and working with, you know, some cooler Brooklyn bands as well and my project, so... Yeah, that's kind of the origin. Not so much giggling in that story that time, but...
But there has been giggling, right?
There was so much giggling, yeah.
So what brought on this love of music so early on in life? Was there a family member? Was there...
My dad is a singer. He's always been interested in music. He never did it as a career. It was always kind of a hobby. But he definitely encouraged it, and, you know, he has... you know, a story where, you know, I was a baby and he sang a note and I sang the same note back to him, which, like, I don't know if that's really true.
Wow, you say that with such disdain.
I know. He tells it every time he sees me and, like, somebody else who might be interested in music. Or people who aren't even, so...
That's more of the dad.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm not really sure if I buy it, so I can't tell, you know, but who am I to dispute his claim? So anyways...
Because you're here now, because now you're playing music, exactly, right?
There you go, yeah, so he's probably right.
Do you ever collaborate with your old dad?
No, I never have. I mean, we're kind of on different... he's much more of, like, an old soul, old school kind of
like
cat.
That.
You know, which is cool, but I've never really done that kind of stuff.
All right, well, speaking of stuff, let's hear a song.
Okay, cool.
What are you going to play for us first?
I'm going to play this song called You Break, which is not out yet, so it's a little sneak peek.
Okay, yeah. Well, I got some thumping bass to accompany
you.
Oh,
yeah, that's for the club. It's the remix that's coming out, yeah.
Okay, so here we go, live on Snacky Tunes, My Midnight Heart.
Whisper in my tongue, tell you know that you'll be.
nice. That is an epic.
Most of the songs are generally epic.
So I was reading about how you sort of you started performing, and then you came to New York,
mm-hmm.
and then you sort of went to like band hibernation in a way.
Yeah, in a way. I was touring with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra for 4 months plus rehearsals, like five months ish.
What were you doing with them?
I was technically a dancer, which if you know me, probably is totally unbelievable. But I was a dancer slash supporting background vocals, whatever you want to call that, and just ensemble kind of thing. I mean, if you know what that is, it's like a rock opera-y kind of ridiculous Christmas extravaganza. So yeah, I was a dancer technically, but you know, it's a pretty large scale tour bus. You know, we were in Europe for a while and then touring all around the States, and it's you know, it's a hectic schedule. There's at least one show each day, except for maybe, you know, the occasional day every now and then. And you know, it's go do the show, get on the bus, go to the next show, and so on and so forth. So yeah, I definitely, there was literally no space mentally or physically, so you kind of had to invent your own. So I started using my iPad and GarageBand a little bit more than, you know, playing my guitar or playing keys or whatever I would be playing to write with. And that kind of, that helped. And that actually, I guess, started this project through, yeah, arranging and, you know, kind of going in that way instead of doing it afterwards. That kind of lended itself, I guess, to this project for sure.
That's awesome. What was it like to come out of hibernation? Like, did you have some big announcement, or you just did something like a quiet sort of like open mic on a Tuesday?
Right.
Like,
no, there wasn't like a big fanfare. I don't even know. Like, I literally didn't realize that I was in hibernation.
Right.
At the time, and then afterwards, I was like, cool, I'm just gonna keep going on with this project that I had been doing before I left. But it had changed, and I wasn't really honestly aware of that till a couple months later. And I was asked to perform with this band, and you know, I was like, okay, cool, I'll get something together. And just kind of came up with a new way of doing it. We have two drummers, most of the gigs, and I wanted to experiment with that a little bit. So I hired some friends and some different musicians I wanted to work with, and started from there. And basically, it's grown into what it is now.
So what's the when people go out to see you live, what's that set up? Because obviously we have you very stripped down right now.
For sure. Yeah, it's very different than this. Right now I'm doing kind of like an electronic sort of setup. I mean, it's still very electronic. There's a bunch of synths and samplers and samples being used, as well as electric bass. For this next gig, we have a show tomorrow night, actually. The 4th at Glasslands.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, our release show launch party. But we have for that one electric bass, me with synths and samples, another sampler, two drummers, and is that it? Jeez. Yeah, there's five
that's
of us.
It.
Seriously.
That's a big setup.
It's a big setup. It's cool though. It sounds great. It just came from rehearsal actually, so.
No. Well, do you want to give us a song that people will be hearing tomorrow night?
Yeah, sure. We'll do the title track off the EP that is coming out Tuesday.
Awesome. Well, as I like to say, here's a happy Rex Manning Day.
Happy Rex Manning Day. I used to love that movie.
Yeah, we all did.
Yeah.
We all did. All right, so here's my Midnight Heart again live here on Snaggy Tunes.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
So, how long have you been in New York, Brooklyn?
I've been in New York for 5 years now. I've been in Brooklyn for 2.5, maybe 3.
What's your what are your stomping grounds? Food, drink? Where do you hang?
I hang out mostly in Ditmas Park.
Okay.
That's just my hood. And we have Sycamore, which is amazing. We have the farm, which is...
Farm's amazing.
So good. Oxcart. It's just like a Castello Plan, and there's just more and more restaurants coming. So it's kind of... It's a pretty hoodie. It's my hood, and it's very, like, foodie. I don't know. It's just the best. I think it's the best.
Do you cook a lot when you're home, when you're not riding and touring?
I do. I used to. I kind of took a break in the summer because it was really hot in my kitchen, and I didn't feel like being in there any longer than I had to be.
That's pretty much the main reason for not cooking in New York.
Yeah. I've started to pick it up again now that it's sort of cooling down. Today it's cool.
Today it's cold.
Yeah, today it's cold. I wasn't ready for that.
So what do you got coming up? So I know it's Rex Manning Day for you on Tuesday.
It is Rex Manning. Happy Rex Manning Day,
everyone. You have the show at Glasslands tomorrow.
Yes.
And then what's up? Tour? What are we doing?
We're taking it easy for a little bit. We have some gigs coming up. We have Ace Hotel on the 10th. That's in like Chelsea-ish area. And then Eric, my friend / manager, is opening a bar called Friends and Lovers in Crown Heights.
Ooh.
So it's another new spot, which is going to be amazing. Is it on Klassen? Did I make that up?
20th, yeah.
Yeah. I'm playing there on the 20th. They're going to have music and all kinds of good stuff. So, and that's it for now-ish. The main thing tomorrow is the launch, is the release and all that stuff. We've been kind of leading up to that. This is our first, it's our debut album, so, yeah.
You excited?
I am. I haven't had time to be excited, but I'm going to be super psyched tomorrow, absolutely, yeah.
We'll take a moment.
Yeah, okay. Hold on. Okay, I'm there now.
Okay.
Yeah.
well, listen, we want to squeeze one last song in, but okay. Why don't you shout out the nuts and bolts of where people can find you, people can buy the album, all that good stuff.
Yeah, it'll be up on iTunes on Tuesday, so you should definitely get it there.
Instagram, and Twitter, Facebook?
And everything is My Midnight Heart. The handle is My Midnight Heart for Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, everything. And we're on all that. We're there. So come see us there, and come see us live tomorrow. That'd be kind of amazing.
Awesome. Shout out to Girly Action as always.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much.
As always. Thank you.
Always. we'll have to get you more on the mic. You're becoming more and more regular. I think I've seen you.
I need my own segment at some point.
I think I've seen you more on that chair than Greg recently. Well, thank you. We're off next week. We're heading down to Austin to see our good and longtime best friend, Eric Horn, get married and to hang out at a fun fest. Will you be there, Damien?
I won't. Sarah will be there.
Sarah will?
Yeah.
All right, Sarah. Hit me up. All right, last track. What do we have?
This one is also off the EP. It's called Nightlight.
Awesome. Here we go.
Cool.
Thanks again. We'll be back. Shout out to Heritage. Shout out to Roberta. And I'll see you at the dance party in about 5 minutes.